Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to a New York Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend, my pal from St. Agnes in Rockville Center, Frank Alasia. Frank, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything is fine. And the topic for today's conversation is meekness and humility, particularly in marriage, but as we'll see, really in all walks of life. Now, we did a podcast on humility a while ago, and it is certainly worth revisiting. And you're adding in the word this time, meekness, as an important component of virtue. What's your idea there?
Well, I thought, meekness is a virtue that really keeps us in check. You know, it keeps us from trying to control everyone in every situation, which a lot of people do. You know, a meek person doesn't seek revenge. We can't seek what is best for our spouse, which is the definition of love in a sense, if we're not meek. You know, it's not enough to will the good of others. We have to do good for our spouse, children, and our friends. You know, you need meekness and humility to carry this out. And the other thing about meekness I find is it really mitigates anger, which very often happens when the proud person doesn't get his or her way.
I get what you're saying, but that word meekness, it sounds to me like weakness. And yes, meekness is a synonym for humility, which is the essential spiritual value. But meekness implies that someone is like timid or docile. I feel better about words like obedience to God's word or non-resistance, right, which Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. made such great use of in their movements, even submissiveness or self-abasement, those point toward Jesus' instructions to empty oneself or die to self to achieve eternal life.
Yeah, it's all true, but meek is the word that is used by Jesus in the Beatitudes, as you read in the open. So it's something we really have to pay attention to. I've read that it can mean blessed are the powerless in this world. They shall inherit the next.
Yeah.
Meekness is an attitude or quality of the heart where a person is willing to accept or submit without resistance to the will and the desire of someone else. And isn't that important in marriage? It's pretty hard to submit your wife's will when you're filled with the sin of self-pride.
There it is, that the word pride. I mean, the church has long identified pride as one of the seven deadly sins all the way back to the sixth century and later. Mm-hmm. Thomas Aquinas comes along and he wrote about the seven deadly sins, and pride is thought to be the worst because it generates or leads to other sins and immoral behavior. It is excessive love of one's own excellence. That's a pride. And remember the parable that Jesus taught about the Pharisee and the tax collector who go up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee doesn't thank God for his gifts. He thanks God for making him so special. And he boasts about himself. Look at me. I'm not greedy. I'm not dishonest. I'm not adulterous. I'm not like this sinful tax collector over here. And again, look how good I am, Father. I fast twice a week. Look at me. He even slips in a reference to how much money he has. I pay tithes on my whole income, he says. And Luke says he spoke this prayer to himself. He doesn't ask God for anything because he believes he has everything already. He doesn't thank God for his mercy and love because he's focused on himself and how much good he does. Pride, ego, right? Edging God out, pushing God to the margins, and placing oneself at the moral center. That's the problem.
Yeah, and St. Thomas, once again, I'm going to paraphrase. The proud person, he says, strives for things that are not appropriate for his or her state of life.
Right.
You know, the humble person, on the other hand, lives in accordance with the truth, no matter what the cost is themselves. And I think a good point is what we talked about. If you get pride wrong, everything else crumbles. If you get humility right, everything else falls into place. And in marriage, it's necessary to be humble because no one's right all the time.
Yeah.
You know, for a marriage to run smoothly, there has to be that self-sacrifice. And many times we think it's more about what we don't get than what we get out of it. We need self-denial. If we don't have humility, it makes everyone's life difficult because it becomes all about them.
Yeah.
And when marriage is all about you, you don't give glory to God. You're worshiping yourself and your wants.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that the antidote for pride is humility. And one of the humility prayers, I've mentioned this to you, is, Lord, help me not to look for recognition. Help me not to desire and need acceptance, approval, rewards. It's not an easy prayer. Try it. To ask God to remove from us the desire to have these things. When we develop a stronger sense of humility, we can love God above all things, and we can be more loving to our neighbors by giving them recognition and praise instead of always boasting about ourselves or worrying about our own recognition. And we receive grace from God by embracing the virtue of humility.
Yeah, and many times in marriage, you find people doing things just to get their spouse off their backs.
Yeah.
And you see this, especially when people have been married for a long time. Instead, if you do something because you love the person, then you're exercising that grace in the right way.
Right.
The more you respond to these graces from God, the more virtuous you become, and the happier your life will be. And when we're married, we are given these graces. We're given special graces, like every sacrament has their special grace to carry out what you're supposed to do.
So true. And with humility, we can be more sincerely generous. Once again, instead of pointing out how much good we do, instead of about telling our spouse about our good qualities, hey, I don't do this, I don't do that, which I'm pretty sure she doesn't want to hear. We can actually be the person that we want to be, kind, thoughtful, ready to forgive, without, against again, recognition or reward. And there is a reward for embracing the virtue of humility. An inner peace shows up, kind of an indescribable quiet joy in knowing and living the gospel. And he says, the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Yeah, and another point is we must be able to suffer the defects of our spouse and children.
Yeah.
That does not mean we don't try to help and correct them, but we have to do it with prudence and kindness. The problem is most people want the other person to straighten out first,
Right.
right? It's human nature, and we have to guard against that. And make sure that that doesn't happen. We have to look in the mirror and own up to our own shortcomings first before we criticize our spouse or our children.
Absolutely. And once again, with humility, we can ask for God's mercy and be confident that we have received it without deserving it. Oh Lord, you are merciful. You are compassionate. You are bountiful. Oh Lord, you are kind. And therefore, Lord, have mercy on me. And then with true humility, we can more authentically pray, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, like Saint Francis taught us.
Yeah, and this is a quote from Curé of ours. Humility is to the various virtues what the chain is to the rosary. Take away the chain and the beads are scattered. Remove humility and all virtues vanish. That's why I think devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is one of the most powerful devotions, because it helps us to gain humility and meekness. If we pray this short prayer, make my heart like unto thine, then we'll become more like Jesus, meek and humble of heart.
Beautiful. And the humble of heart can accept and embrace the person God created us to be with a distinct purpose for each one of our lives. So I'm glad you did this, Frank. It's a good topic. Thank you very much. Folks, don't forget to like us and follow us. Send us an email, get nice notes, and send it to anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. That's anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. Frank, I love you a lot, and I'll see you next time, okay?
Yes, God bless, and thanks, Deacon.